That's podcasting gold. That's great. So yeah, I've interviewed some jester, not Molly Hawk. Even I keep mentioning a lovely couple I met. Keep forgetting their name. Anyway, what are your characters?
I'm Percival Frederickstein von Musel Klosowski de Rolo III, and this is
Victor. I'm Victor.
Are you both from Campaign One?
Yeah, we're both Campaign One characters. I think it was just it was quite a nice costume to put together because, you know, you buy a toy gun, you get a nice long jacket, and then a straightforward Percy costume.
In true Victor fashion, I cobbled mine together in the last couple of days, ready to sell black powder to Percival here.
I think you picked the right one because there's no face paint.
No face paint.
It's quite comfy, it's not too warm. It seems perfect.
Yeah, I get to wear a waistcoat and shirt underneath, so it feels nice to wear a costume like this, I think.
I didn't watch Campaign 1. I watched the beginning of Campaign 2. What can you tell me about your characters? And are they both your favorite character? Or is it just a convenient thing to...
I really like Percy. He's a cool character. He's a gunslinger. He's the person who invented guns in the world of D&D. So any... Not D&D, of Tal Dorei. So any guns that you see in Campaign 2, that's all Taliesin's fault, basically. So he's always tinkering, trying to make new things. And when you need to have a gun, you need lots of black powder, which is where Victor comes in.
Yeah, Victor is one of Matt Mercer's most iconic characters. The voice I haven't quite nailed, but it's largely this kind of thing. And I have black powder to sell you if you need any for
really,
your bombs.
Do you?
And yes, you can smell it if you like. It's it's made of a sort of bonfire tea concoction. Yeah, give it a sniff.
Oh, smoky. Smoky. Nice.
But yes, I'm come as young Victor. So Victor before he loses any of his fingers or teeth from his various experiments.
Oh yeah, okay, so there's this progression of the character.
Absolutely, yes.
So I just see Darth Vader progressing behind you and you seem to share things in common. So you're doing voices. Are you doing voices like that when you play D&D yourself?
Yes, sometimes, yes. Depends on the character I'm playing, but yes, I enjoy immersing myself in the character.
I do a lot of... Before I was DMing even, I knew that I could do silly voices, like, you know, like, I've got Gollum voice, and I discovered my Elmer is really good. So I just do a lot of silly stuff, and I try to fit those fun things in when I'm playing, you know, characters that it will fit for. Or characters that it wouldn't fit for, which can then really make an interesting character as well.
Like a very tough barbarian.
Yeah, big barbarian who's just like, Monkey would like to hit things.
You both the Dungeon Master.
Yeah, I run a campaign for AJ here and a few of the other guys that we've come with. I originally DM'd it for a different group, but then that kind of fell apart. So I've sort of restarted it for these guys, set in my own homebrew world, but using like 5th edition rules. Yeah, that's going pretty well.
So I've been DMing since, I watched Critical Role and was like, this is great, I want to try this. Got a bunch of people who had never played before and was like, if I mess this up, then, you know, they won't know that I've messed it up because they're all new as well. And I've been running that for like a year and a half now and stealing bits and pieces from Critical Role and from... You know, I watch a bit of dice camera action and stuff as well. Just, you know, it's good to steal from other DMs. I think that's the way to do things.
I mean, yeah, I steal from Matt all the time. Yeah.
This morning I was watching a game session of Crash Panda.
Oh, yeah.
And I know Critical Role also recently played some Vampire the Masquerade. Are you curious about venturing into other settings or the games?
I love other RPGs. Like, I've played a game of Fiasco.
Oh, good.
Before, which is really, really fun, very roleplay heavy. And I've also got an idea for a world that uses the fate system, like a lot more rules light, kind of, you can do whatever setting you like, whatever characters and abilities you want. So that's got to offer a lot more flexibility. But, you know, having a full-time job has its limits. So I think D&D is my priority for the minute.
What about you?
I've not played much outside of 5th edition D&D. I think because I'm quite familiar with that system, I just like to play it as much as I can. But I know that one of the players in my group has run something based on Honey Heist, but with goats instead of bears. So, yeah, I like to play... I like playing the silly ones like that, but I think for serious story stuff, I'm sticking with 5th edition as much as I can.
You know, that's a good segue because I was talking with someone earlier. I'm trying to advocate people, encourage people, be the opposite of a gatekeeper, like gate
definitely.
Usherer. And one of the things I heard a couple times was, oh yeah, but it took me so much time to get used to the rules of Dungeons & Dragons. Uh-huh. The expectation is that they will be as complicated to start with. Uh-huh. You mentioned Fiasco and Fate. Are these a game you would recommend people to who want to try something else but have little times
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are plenty of sort of more rules light systems. So if you're a beginner and you like role playing, then Fiasco is a great idea. If you're a beginner and you like combat and mechanics, Dungeon World is quite good. It's based on the D20 SRD system, but it's a lot less complex and the rules are kind of already there for you to hop on top of.
I'm struggling with Dungeon World personally.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. I find it's a game fascinating. I want to get better at it. I want to play with people who are seasoned with it a bit. Because what I find out is that if you are a quotation mark old school player and you're used to different ways of doing things, you struggle to adapt that to Dungeon World, which is it's got a specific flavor which I find very fascinating.
Okay. I mean, I know that a friend of mine likes to run Everyone is John for brand new RPG players.
I haven't heard of that one.
It's basically everybody is playing the voices inside one person's head.
Wow.
And you basically like fight for control, and it's just kind of like getting used to that system of being in a group and working towards a goal, but also you've all got your own goals in mind. Just kind of getting you into that RPG mindset. So that's a good one. It can be done in a single session.
Do you guys attend tabletop RPG more gaming conventions as well?
I haven't been to any. We're actually both talking about going to Gen Con at some point, maybe.
Oh yeah,
in the
you're not starting locally then.
No. Well, I think just because Gen Con's like the big one to go to. I think this is our first convention I've been to for a while. I went to a more board game focused one a few years ago for a friend's birthday. But yeah, I think we probably would go and check out things like that. But
yeah, well, you should come to Dragon Meet here in London, December 1st. And there's also the UK Games Expo, which is the biggest in the UK.
I think that was the one that I went to. It was in Birmingham a couple of years ago. It might be that just at the time, because I wasn't involved with RPG as much, I didn't actually seek it out. I just saw lots of board games. But
no, I know. Yeah, I'm saying stuff. That because I know that people who are in the hobby are keen to see. They feel like there's a lot of players, Critical Role fans out there, and they'd like to connect with them. But we feel like we don't see enough of critters in the more specific conventions. And that would be awesome.
Agree.
So please do come. Anything else to add to Critters Across the World?
Yeah. I feel like I should have like a catchy slogan.
Life needs things to live.
Any personal projects and where people can find you, if you want to be found?
I wish I had something cool that I could say here. I wish my YouTube channel was going. Unfortunately, I haven't got anything to really plug.
You don't have the name settled yet. This is not going to be out till 2019, so...
Oh, fair enough. No, I don't really have anywhere online I can be found, I don't think.
Yeah, I guess me neither in terms of like RPG stuff. But I run a small community theatre in Nottingham called Hideout Productions, if you want to come along and check stuff out. By 2019, we'll probably be doing a bit more stuff than we are right now. So, yeah.
I've got a friend who moved in Nottingham recently, so I recommend it.
Cool.
I've thought of something I would do want to shout out. So so there's a webcomic called Order of the Stick that no one has heard of. It's a big D&D webcomic from, like, 2003. It's still going.
I run a
blog that's about
it. Okay, okay.
You're, I don't make it. But.
You were, sarcastic when you said nobody ever heard of.
Well,
it's super famous.
No one has dressed up as any of the characters from it, and that's
technical.
Yeah. But I feel like it should be bigger than it is. I feel like now that D&D is like having this big resurgence that everyone's talking about, especially due to Critical Role, I think Order of the Stick is something people need to check out.
That's very interesting what you're saying, because before Critical Role, Order of the Stick sort of other circles.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah,
it's
gigantic. Definitely. Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe it's just...
It's not a criticism.
People,
I just find it really fascinating and interesting.
I think it's weird for me as well, being someone who was a big Order of the Stick fan before I really played D&D, because the comic itself doesn't make you go, oh, I'll go and play D&D, whereas obviously watching people play can be a bit more of a... you know, influence in that sense.
What's the elemental again in Order of the Stick?
They have a chlorine elemental, there's a titanium elemental. It's like, oh, lighter than a normal earth elemental, but just as strong. Like, why should you be limited by the four, like, classic elements when you've got a whole periodic table of them? Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff like that. It's all very genre savvy. Like, one of the characters is a bard who is like, oh, no, we can't enter yet. It wouldn't be cool enough at this point. We need to smash in at just the right second. And then a lot of subverting that as well. It's good fun. Worth checking out. There's over 1,000 comics of it, so it's a bit of a trawl, but it's worth it.
Good recommendation. Thank you very much. So what were your name?
I'm AJ.
I'm Sam.
Thank you very, very much.
All right, Whitman. Death beckons. Don't move.
So, let me see. I'd like to summon a demon, please, Hargreaves.
You would you? Just like that. Bring the darkness.
But I'm a necromancer.
You're a dick. Roll 20. If you miss, you die.
That's tyranny.
That's the rules, bitch. 20.
You know, Hargreaves, one day I'm going to be a god, and then I'm going to fucking...
I can't quite see you at the Arcadian orgy somehow.
Oh, and you're perfect sex god material, aren't you?
Fuck off.
What is an orgy anyway?
Oh, for fuck's sake, would you just roll, please? 20 or death? What's that sound?
What's that smell? Oh, Hargreaves, Jesus! That's evil! Talk about summoning the dead!
Please meet the director and cast of Slaughterhouse Rules.
Okay, so let's take some questions. Yes, please. In connection with the introduction scene of the first scene, my question is, which I asked earlier, I didn't plan to be your fault because of that intro scene. Is there any among you three who played Dungeons and Dragons or would like to try?
There you go.
Well, I played Dungeons and Dragons in the 80s. And I had a very, very powerful elf that I still keep in the bottom drawer for rainy days.
Amazing. Hermione, Finn?
Oh God, I was the wrong answer. I haven't played Dungeons & Dragons and I'm so sorry about that.
I'll tell you who does play Dungeons & Dragons. Asa Butterfield is a huge Dungeons
& Dragons fan. Massive fan.
And he has promised that he's going to teach us all how to play, so...
Good, yeah.
Well, he is an elf.
Yeah, he truly is.
I can confirm that now.
Oh man. If only you'd had loads of spare time on set, you could have played on set.
I will learn. I'm open to learning, so yeah.
That is the promise. Okay. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Did you get my note about the no-go areas?
I cannot have pupils wandering about in the middle of the night.
These things always end up in a bloody mess.
Welcome all to Slaughterhouse.
This is the school pecking order.
Hello, pleased to meet you. Who are you?
I'm Bill, the founder of Critical Translate.
You were holding Aya, a sign, and I thought it was especially interesting for my show, the Rollis Podcast, which is a trans-channel across-language sort of show. It's about roleplayers across from France, Belgium, and here in the UK. So what is Critical Role Translate? Is it literally about translating Critical Role?
Yes, we are kind of a sister project for Critical Transcribe, who did all the transcription for Critical Role. And so about a year and a half ago, I thought that I could take that, because this caption already existed, and I could start to translate them in French, because I'm French personally. And I thought that was kind of a big project to take on alone. I thought of a way, trying to find a way to make it more efficient to work together, kind of the way Critical Transcribe did it for transcription, but to make it available for as many people as possible.
So let's say I don't speak English, but I'm listening to this show to learn. And I'd like to watch Critical Role, or can I watch it with your subtitles then?
They are on the official videos on YouTube. The closed caption are available for a number of episodes. The first episode of Campaign 2 have been translated in about 11 languages.
11 languages?
Yeah, I don't have the list by heart, but there is French, German, traditional and simplified Chinese, Dutch, Polish. There's a bunch of them. I don't have the list of by head. But
I mean,
yeah.
That's an amazing endeavor.
Yes.
It's very impressive.
There's a lot of work into it. Last time I counted, there's been more than 1 million hours of work put in together between 160 translators across the world.
So you engage with the Critical Role, let's say, organization to have that in place also?
We work with them, with Critical Role itself, for Handbooker Helper, which we started translating a month and a half ago, 2 months ago when it started. And with Geek & Sundry through Critical Transcribe for the main episodes.
Are you considering doing other shows like, I don't know, Shields of Tomorrow? Or
If other shows would want to use our setup to translate other shows, I would be happy to share that with them.
Okay, so you, if you're a fan of Shield of Tomorrow and you want to do that...
Yeah, maybe just come to us. We have tools, we have made tools to make it easier to work together on big project, because the episodes of Critical Role are 4 hours long. It's completely undoable in any other ways we have found. But yeah, if any long-form projects would want to use our tools, they're free to use, we can share them.
You said you were from France, or where about in France?
I'm from the eastern France, from Metz.
Metz, okay, nice. And did you play role-playing games, jeux de rôle, before Critical Role, or did they introduce you to
I knew about it, and I wanted to play for a long while, and Critical kind of pushed me into the thing, and I started playing after.
Do you play French role-playing games as well?
I haven't yet.
Aww.
I've looked at the Donjon Nullbeck role-playing game, but I haven't played yet with it.
I haven't told about Donjon Nullbeck on the show yet. Could you explain a bit what it is to non-French-speaking listeners?
So it's a universe of kind of goofy fantasy, and it's made to be kind of stupid, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's someone who was kind of tired of taking serious role-playing games and making them into goofy games, so he decided to make a goofy role-playing system to play goofy games with. That's basically what it is.
It's funny because as a French-speaking player myself, you could even say that Nullbeck didn't ruin but tainted a lot of game sessions afterwards.
That's true.
A barbarian or an elf.
Without
someone mentioning the color of your shoes or something like that.
Yeah, our generation is kind of broken for that. Yeah.
C'est de la merde, ta magie.
Exactly, yeah.
What can you say about the French critters? Is there a French word for critter? Is there a critter?
I don't think there is.
Do French people say that? Like they say LinkedIn, do they say critter?
I think they do. All French critter I met are pretty fluent in English, so they say critters, of course. We're not many, as I know, for now. That's also the project. My dream is that we can develop communities in each country that don't necessarily speak English fluently or at all, that can embrace that culture of Critical Role and of role-playing game in general.
Recently I saw, there's been multiple attempts, but recently another show claimed to be the French, or attempting to be the French Critical Role. What do you think of that? Have you seen it?
Aventure?
There was Aventure, but there's an even more recent one now with professional actors. I don't remember.
I haven't heard about it.
Well, it's not very successful so far. I wish them success.
Yeah, sure. We need that in France, I think.
So Aventure is the role-playing game show of the player in the attic?
Joueur du grenier.
Can you talk about it too? I believe at least the player of the attic, he's got subtitles in English. So I don't know if Aventure does it, but maybe if English listeners could actually watch it.
I would be surprised if they did English subtitles for that longer format, because we do it and it's kind of a pain. Just the transcribe is a lot of work.
Maybe it was a... You know, they got these automated versions which are weird sometimes.
We're trying to work with it and it's just a pain.
I remember sharing with non-French speakers a video about... I don't know if you know the famous stunt coordinator Rémy Julien, a cascadeur.
Yeah.
The guy who did all the stunts for all the James Bonds, all the movies. And I shared a documentary about him with people. And the translation of cascade was waterfall, so it was not...
Automatic transcription and translation is even worse. But even transcription is not great, so that's complicated.
Today, finally, I don't know why they waited for so long, we've got Critical Role here in Europe.
Yeah, that we're kind of all overjoyed when we learned about it, and we kind of, broke and all bought tickets as early as we could.
Where do you think would be the best place for Critical Role to come? Not only in Europe next time, but maybe come in France. What would be the best conventions for them to come to, you think? Would that be Japanimation, which is... Well, I mean, like MCM Comic Con, it's not exactly about tabletop RPG. What's the biggest geeky convention in France?
I'm not sure if it's... I'm not quite on par with what happens in the geek culture in France, I have to admit. But I think Comic Con is still alive.
Oh, there's a Paris Comic Con then.
Yeah, Paris Comic Con.
Okay.
I don't know if it's still alive. It was still alive like 2 years ago, last time I checked.
I hope they're alive. Maybe they don't have the event anymore.
They were with Japan Expo for a while. And then they migrate, they separated. They're in October, I think, last time I heard about it. So I think that probably would be the best fit for what they do. But any geek convention should, any big geek convention should probably be able to do it.
I interviewed Monty Cook, one of the authors of D&D 3rd edition.
Yeah.
And he was telling me how great the one in Italy was called Luca. So maybe you can have your Italian members try to push to get Critical Role to Luca.
The team is small, but they are powerful. So maybe I'll talk about it to them, yeah.
Okay, anything to add to players and across the world?
English speaker listeners of the podcast, if they want to help translating Critical, they are creators themselves. We are on Twitter, at CR Translate, easy to find. And yeah, come say hi and maybe you can help.
Awesome, thank you very much.
Thank you. J'ai rencontré un troll, il marchait dans la forêt. J'ai rencontré un troll, il marchait dans la forêt. Il traînait derrière lui un elfe tout empaqueté. Il traînait derrière lui un elfe tout empaqueté. Ah qu'il est fort, ah qu'il est beau, ah qu'il est grand mon ami Paul du Chaos. Ah qu'il est fort, ah qu'il est beau, ah qu'il est grand mon ami Paul du Chaos. Je lui dis mon ami, que vas-tu faire de Storm? Je lui dis mon ami, que vas-tu faire de Storm? Il me répond, je vais le bouffer, par-ci avec des pommes. Lui me répond, je vais le bouffer, par-ci avec des pommes. Ah qu'il est fort, ah qu'il est beau, ah qu'il est grand, mon ami Paul du Chaos. Ah qu'il est fort, ah qu'il est beau, ah qu'il est grand, mon ami Paul du Chaos. Il brandit sa massue et frappe vers ma tête. Il brandit sa massue et frappa vers ma tête. Il voulait sans tarder m'ajouter dans l'assiette. Il voulait sans tarder m'ajouter dans l'assiette. Ah qu'il est fort, ah qu'il est beau, ah qu'il est grand mon ami Troll du Chaos. Ah qu'il est fort, ah qu'il est beau, ah qu'il est grand mon ami Troll du Chaos. J'ai évité l'assaut en courant dans les bois. J'ai évité l'assaut en courant dans les bois. Et quand je me suis retourné, ben il était plus là. Quand je me suis retourné, ben il était plus là. Ah qu'il est fort, ah qu'il est beau, ah qu'il est grand mon ami Troll du Chaos. Ah qu'il est fort, ah qu'il est beau, ah qu'il est grand mon ami Troll du Chaos. Et j'ai suivi sa piste pour trouver sa caverne. Et j'ai suivi sa piste pour trouver sa caverne. Puis je l'ai vu caché par-delà le gros chêne. Puis je l'ai vu caché par-delà le gros chêne. Ah qu'il est fort, ah qu'il est beau, ah qu'il est grand mon ami Troll du Chaos. Ah qu'il est fort, ah qu'il est beau, ah qu'il est grand mon ami Troll du Chaos. Alors j'ai vu le troll prendre un objet pointu. Alors j'ai vu le troll prendre un objet pointu. Et pour farcir les pommes, il lui enfonçait dans le cul. Et pour farcir les pommes, il lui enfonçait dans le cul. Ah qu'il est fort, ah qu'il est beau, ah qu'il est grand mon ami Troll du Chaos. Ah la la lo, ah la la lo, ah la la lo, ah la lo, la 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 lo.
Okay, what can you say? Well, first you can introduce yourself, the three of you.
All right, I'm Paula. I'm the supervisor of the German team, of the German translation team from Critical Role Translate.
Yeah, I'm Zina Rose. I'm one of the translators.
And an editor.
And the main editor, yeah, I'm the grammar nerd.
I'm Marian. I'm also translating into German.
Oh, did you find out about Critical Role? Is it on banners in the street in Stuttgart and Munich?
It's not that popular in Germany, mainly because Dungeons & Dragons is not that popular in Germany. We have our own tabletop RPG.
Fifth edition? Is it translated now?
It is translated. Yeah, we have got one handbook. That's our sacred book we use as a reference. But mainly German play the Dark Eye.
Das Schwarze Auge.
Exactly, Das Schwarze Auge.
It's been mentioned often on the show because a lot of older players in France started with L'œil noir.
Oh, yeah.
L'œil noir, you know, it's more sensual than
Das Schwarze Auge. That's the problem with German. That we have that.
I love German. I think it's a beautiful language.
Well, we have one person who loves German. We all
do. Yay!
That's why I guess Critical Role is not that popular, because most people just watch real play podcast of Das Schwarze Auge.
So. And also, I think when you know Critical Role in Germany, it's sort of like you know like three people who also kind of watch it. and you don't really know them in real life, so you just keep it on the internet. So I think I know like two people in real life that also watch Critical Role, and I showed it to them. So I'm not.
For me, it just washed over from America. For me, it just washed over from America. Yeah. I follow a lot of Americans on Tumblr and on Twitter, and they kept blogging about Bo because they're all lesbians. So Bo is like the big idol, and it's just what happened. And eventually, I was just like, okay, she's exactly what I'm looking for in the character. I'm going to start watching this, whatever. And then I kind of dragged all of my friends in, and that made like three whole new people in the fandom. So that's how it went for me. Great. I think it just rolls over.
I'm really sorry, the panel is getting
full. So,
okay, we need to go to the
Thank you very much.
And, you're very welcome.
Is filling up already?
Yeah, it's,
well, okay.
It's already filling up.
Let us begin by getting in bed and stretch a little. Stretch your arms and legs. Stretch out real good and allow yourself to just slide into the afterglow of that stretch. And find a comfortable position. You will find it easy and comfortable to continue to follow the instructions at all levels of mind. Sounds will not distract you. They'll just help you to relax more and more. You'll awaken any time that's important for you, feeling fine, alert, and in excellent health. You need not try to sleep. Just relax as you let yourself rest. Let go and listen to my voice. It may be helpful for you to assume I am your friend. Try to sleep. Just relax. As you let yourself rest, let go and listen to my voice. It may be helpful for you to assume I am your friend. From my experience with thousands of people, I can say that if we had time to spend together, we would like each other. We would be friends.
The panel just ended with the amazing team of Critical Role, and I'm joined by two critters. Could you introduce yourself and tell the listeners, how did you find the panel?
My name is Vanna. I'm from the Netherlands, and I'm currently cosplaying as Not the Brain.
Goeiedag.
Goeiedag. The panel was really great. Like, I feel incredibly lucky that I got in the first place, because it was just, they cut off the line an hour before the panel started. It was literally that busy. And the panel was just absolutely delightful, and just being able to see the cast and just hearing them talk about something that's very dear to them as well, and it's also very dear to me, it was just really wonderful.
How about you? Who are you, and how did you find it?
So my name is Irene. I'm from the Netherlands as well, dressed as Yasha. It was amazing. It was really, really nice to see them, and like Vanna said, to hear them talk about something they're so passionate about and that everybody here is so passionate about as well. So yeah, it was really nice, really awesome.
Do you wish you had the opportunity to ask a question yourself? There was two huge lines of people who were sitting there, and yeah, it was cut short.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to ask something, but then I saw the line and was like, I'm staying where I had a very nice seat as well. So
what would you have asked?
My question kind of was asked, if they create a new character, how do they start and what is the process for them in creating characters?
Is what they're replying sort of similar to what you do? Or?
Kind of. Mine is kind of mixed. Sometimes I'm like, yes, I want to play a Tiefling Warlock because I think they're both cool. And on the other side, no, I want a character with, like, this kind of backstory, this kind of personality. Okay, what would suit them? What race would suit that? What class would suit them? So, yeah, that's it. To me, it's a mix and match.
How about you? Was there a question you wish was asked?
Yeah, well, I wish I had the opportunity to ask the question. I would have asked the entire cast, but I also wanted to know from Sam especially. I feel that a lot of us project ourselves into characters. And I was wondering what personality traits of their characters.
Please, do you want to be in the hall? Do try and bear with us. We're trying to make sure we get out safe and as quickly as possible. The show, of course, is still open. Amaral remains only in Muscle Bay. So please do follow us, keep in touch with us, because then we know that you'll be getting all the latest information.
Okay, so you were saying, what would you have asked to Sam?
Well, I would have specifically asked what kind of personality traits he relates to in the characters that he plays. I know that in characters that I play, I project also a lot of my flaws. I feel it's a good outlet, which was also mentioned in the panel briefly by, I believe it was Marisha, right?
Mm-hmm. But as next, we'll be taking you into the world of a great new show called Curfew. Thanks to all good friends in the sky. So please do stick around for that. Following which, of course, Euro Cosplay Madness will begin.
I wonder if someone said, after a critical look, and it will be great because there will be so many people already there.
And then there was no one.
So, yeah, people project their personality, personal flaws. So, what about you, if it's not indiscreet? Do you have a character you feel like you've been especially close to and was very... Very close to.
But as I said, if you are leaving, please do make sure you follow.
There you go. We are out. We sadly had to. You know, it was kind of the over-attached boyfriend kind of situation with Curfew on Sky. Sadly, not interested. So, you were saying about one person could project himself or herself into their character, their flaws, and personality. What do you have to say about that when you were interrupted? And is there a character which felt especially close to you?
Yeah, I would say both in a personal character sense, but also Not the Brave is actually a good example because I do have severe anxiety.
Okay.
And I feel like Not the Brave also has a lot of anxiety and a lot of fears, but still pushes through, and there's just a lot of admiration I have for that. So that's a way that I also project myself onto, a Critical Role character.
It's interesting because in the run-up to today, I familiarized myself a bit more with the crew by watching Between the Sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's me making interpretation from thing, but have you seen the one with Sam Riegel?
No, unfortunately not.
Well, looking at it, I personally thought there were a lot... He showed quite a few minor signs of being anxious himself in this interview, you know, being... I've seen that with performers. They might look very exuberant, but when they are in a non-scripted environment, they can get a bit anxious. So I think you're right about Nadia, about Sam projecting himself in that type of character. And I think, that's a character I love in part because of that. What about you? Who's your character?
I'm Yasha. It's Ashley Johnson's character, but because Ashley is a lot on blind, she's filming from blind spot a lot, she's not at the table as much as the other players. The character I relate most to, Yasha, probably because she is like a tall, awkward person. I'm tall and awkward. But also Molly and the way he presents himself. He has a line where he says, I want to leave every town better than I found it. And that is something that I do a lot. I want to, you know, help people be better people. Doesn't always work, of course, but it's something I strive to do, to let people be the best people who they can be.
When you create your own character, do you also tend to play tall characters, or do you go the opposite?
Funny enough, if I play female characters, they're usually tiny. If I play male characters, they're usually tall. That's really funny that I say that. I was like, yeah.
I don't know if you know a show called... there's a sequel to a show called Sword Art Online.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the concept of the main character was quite interesting because you see images of the show and it's a very chibi character.
Yeah.
It's a very, very short little girl all in pink, and it's in a sort of militaristic environment. So she's got... Even her weapons are pink. And you wonder, what is this kind of character? But it's set in a virtual game. And you see the player who created her and you find out that she's Japanese, but very tall, and she yearns to play a cute, short person.
Well, my characters aren't necessarily short. I have a tiefling warlock who is very goth. I do have one adorable cleric who is adorable, nice, half-elf. But my characters, I always let them be a bit different from other people, like, for example, they're LGBT, for example, or they're have like extreme anxiety, or they have a depression. Always like want to make them a little bit different from other people.
I spoke earlier to CR Translate, which is a group which translates the subtitles for Critical Role to different languages. Knowing the Dutch, you don't really need translation. Usually you're extremely good to
get English at a very early age, and almost all our shows are subtitled.
By the way, it's very annoying when you're trying to learn Dutch. Because only the Flemish wants you to speak Dutch. You go to the Netherlands, nobody lets you speak Dutch.
That's true.
they were telling me that they were supporting, trying to encourage language-based clubs of Critical Role. Are you aware of a club in the Netherlands you would be part of?
Not really. Well, yeah, we have a D&D group, but that's it.
I mean, do you have a Facebook group? Are you open to get more people and encourage them?
Well, it would be a cool thing to start. Dutch Critters.
Critters.
Critters. Critters. Critters. Critters. If you would pronounce it Dutch, it would be Critters.
Critters. Oh, yeah, I like that. Do you have anything to plug where people can find you?
Well, I have an Instagram, at Demonic Rosebush.
I also have a Twitter, at Kilvana, but I'm also a Twitch streamer, which is also Kilvana. You can find me there.
Tell us about that.
I like to play video games on the internet for an audience. It is really fun, and I really like hanging out with people and talking with people. And I do it regularly, about 3 times a week.
People should tune in and check your show.
Yeah, well, if anyone wants to join me, come say hi. That would be great, and I hope you would have a wonderful time.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Another panel, this time, the cast of Shadowhunters.
I think there are quite a few fans of something called Dungeons & Dragons in this room. Wow. Maybe there are some of something else called Vampire the Masquerade. So my question is, I don't know if you're familiar with those tabletop role-playing games. I was wondering if you ever played any and if you would be interested to try one.
Have you played it? No.
I think I've played Dungeons & Dragons once.
I played once.
Is it fun?
Yeah.
We play werewolf a lot. I don't even know if it deals with anything, but it has a werewolf name. Anyway, but no, yeah, it sounds like fun.
I would play epic.
I'd be so down for it, but I heard, is Dungeons & Dragons not just a tabletop? It's like an improv game too, right? There's like a role-playing.
Yeah, there's a whole world.
Yeah, it's a role-playing.
Oh, yeah. I'd be so down for that.
We'd love to play both.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of fun. Didn't we kind of almost play in a flashback scene
that never
aired?
There was a scene that never aired that they shot where Simon and Clary, it was at one of the moments where Clary and Simon were both feeling and thinking like, wow, how much has life changed for us in 2 weeks? And then they flash back to Simon and Clary playing Dungeons & Dragons in Simon's room.
Ooh.
And it was this really, like, Simon like jumps on the bed and is like talking to Clary with like this elf voice. And
it was so cute. We were like 15 in the scene.
Yeah,
like, it was great.
Yeah, but they never... I actually never even saw that scene.
We should try and dig that up.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Maybe do a little taster now. You fancy?
It's cool because we kind of got to do it, you know, but in a different way because we play those type of characters. Yeah. It is sort of like an epic fantasy. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
This side next.
Onde se esconder? Estou me sentindo como uma vilã faminta por dentro. Uma olhada em seus olhos. Tá correndo porque sabe que vou te comer viva. Seu coração bate como tambor. A perseguição apenas começou. Monstros em sua mente. Somos monstros em sua cama. Somos monstros. Oh, somos monstros. Oh. nasce em falso e você é meu. É melhor ficar esperto se quiser viver. Quando cruza a linha, irá desejar ouvir minha voz quando morrer. Seu coração bate como um tambor, a perseguição apenas começou. Monstros em sua mente, somos monstros em sua cama, somos monstros, oh, somos monstros, oh. Atiramos pra atordoar. Somos reis da matança, queremos sangue, vamos levar a um por um. Somos reis da matança, queremos sangue, atiramos pra atordoar. Somos reis da matança, queremos sangue, vamos levar a um por um. Somos reis da matança, queremos sangue. Monstros em sua mente, somos monstros em sua cama, somos monstros, oh, somos monstros, oh.
That's the last day at MCM Comic Con. Yesterday was quite emotional, and today, along with many other critters, I'm in line here because we are extremely passionate about Frank Miller. Am I right?
Yeah, that's why. That's totally the reason.
Could you introduce yourself?
I'm Vicky. I'm a critter.
Where do you come from?
From London, yeah. Just live quite close.
People are coming from all over Europe today, yeah. Even probably
most
the world.
Of the people. They said, how many of you have come from abroad? And yeah, like half the studio put up their hands.
So what about you?
I'm Rasheen, I'm cosplaying Keela today. I come down from Cornwall. I come down most times, but I wasn't going to come to MCM this year until I heard that Critical Role was going to be here, and then I dropped everything and bought a ticket, so that's why I'm in line 5 hours early today.
Did you manage to make it yesterday?
I didn't know. I turned up 2.5 hours before, and they'd cut it off until five, so I... Yeah, I was a bit put out yesterday, but I'm in much earlier today, so hopefully I'm going
to
get
in. At least today you're sure to get in. You got water.
Yeah, I've got water.
I got
my stuff. We're ready for a camp out. Yeah, it's a nice atmosphere in line here, though. I'm pretty sure at least half the people we're with are Critical Role fans. Either they're in cosplay or they're wearing T-shirts, and it's just, yeah, it's nice.
What about you?
I'm Nina, I'm from the Netherlands, and I cosplay as Nat.
I had something to my wife yesterday evening. I wanted her to tell me or to say something. Is het al donderdag?
Yeah, is it Thursday yet? Is it al donderdag?
Is het al donderdag? So in Netherlands, is Critical Role very popular there?
Yeah, I mean, I met a lot of Dutch people here, I think so.
It seems that a lot of people from different countries are meeting each other for the first time here in London, but there are no structures yet. I've heard of CR Translate, but it seems not to be national clubs across Europe. It's a bit of a pity. So you met a lot of people from the Netherlands. You think you're going to form a little club or Facebook group or something like that?
We already have a Facebook page, and like in smaller communities like WhatsApp groups and everything. Yeah, D&D in general, fan clubs and everything.
Awesome. How about you?
Hi, yeah, I'm from just outside London.
Oh, yeah, I really question you. There's so many people, so many nuts, so many jester too.
Yeah, I'm Denise, I'm dressed as jester. When we found out that they were coming to MCM, it was, you know, brilliant. Yeah, right, let's start making costumes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, definitely wanted to come.
Did Critical Role introduce you to tabletop role-playing games, or did you play it before?
My daughter introduced me to it. But
I started watching Critical Role.
And then that introduced me to D&D, and then I introduced my friends.
So yes. you two not only watch Critical Role, but play together?
Yes, yes. We had a family game going.
So who's the dungeon master?
I'm the DM, and then these two are both players in the game.
So is she a good dungeon master? Is she a fair dungeon master?
She's a fair dungeon master, but she's a reluctant dungeon master because she wants to get in there. She wants to play. She wants to be Beau. She wants to kick some ass.
You know, that's the secret. I'm a dungeon master, and... We all want to be players to some extent.
Someone has to do the DMing.
And then someone has to do the DMing, and then you end up being the DM, and then when you're a player, you're like, I would have done that differently.
No, it's a thankless job, DMing, I find. You do all the work every week, and then your players just roll up, and they're like, I haven't leveled up yet. I need 10 minutes to level up. And you're there with about 15 different NPC sheets and all these like lines of dialogue and these encounter tokens and everything. And you're like, can we please just play? Yeah.
My players are grateful, but for what they know goes into it, they just don't know how much does go into it until they do it themselves. My sister did take a turn at DMing, and I think that gave her an appreciation for how much effort and kind of anxiety you get towards, like, when the game starts and it's all on you, more than just kind of sitting there and waiting for something to react to, basically.
In the tabletop gaming sort of, I don't know, blogs, etc., and podcasts, there's a lot of discussion about games which, beside Dungeons & Dragons, where you share the agency, meaning that there's a game master or there's no game master, but players... are contributing a bit more to that. Would you be interested to trying something like that?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I haven't really heard of those and like looked into them much, but if that's the case, then yeah, that sounds like an interesting... I don't know how it would work, because certainly the way it works in Dungeons & Dragons is you need to have it be one person, because they have all the secrets, basically, and they need to know what happens next. But yeah, that sounds like an interesting concept if it can work.
I've been going to the what we call traditional way, which is Dungeon Master and secrets, and actually you share more secrets, you create the story more together. A lot of these stuff are something called Powered by the Apocalypse, which is a system with different games.
I think they use that in the Adventure Zone, which is I don't know if any, lots of critters have an overlap there. It's a Dungeons & Dragons podcast that's run by the McElroys, a role-playing podcast, I should say, sorry. And they started off in D&D, and then they moved into the Powered by the Apocalypse system, and it's very different, but what it does is gives the Griffin, the DM, a lot more kind of creative collaboration with his players, like especially on terms of individual character story. Like, as a DM, you can work with your players a lot to find out, you know, how much story they want in the campaign and things like that, and you can always change it, but it is, at the end of the day, down to you, whereas with Powered by the Apocalypse, it's less dictated by the dice and more by the sort of creative directions and freedom of the players, which does allow for a different kind of storytelling, not necessarily better or worse, but, like, definitely very different.
Yeah, exactly, it's different. And it's, personally, I find it a bit challenging, but very... very special. The question we were talking about, how yesterday people line up, get on their knees to ask questions, I was among those people, and the question I wanted to ask to the cast of Critical Role is, I find that it's great they played games from a game designer from London called Grant Orbit, who did one-sheet RPGs like...
Crash Pandas, he did that one, didn't he? Yeah, I saw Sam Riegel.
And Honey Heist, yeah. They started playing Vampire the Masquerade with Taliesin.
Yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
So my question to them was, are you playing other games besides Dungeons & Dragons?
I only play Dungeons & Dragons because I'm so busy and I'm so lucky that I can play that game. So I wanted to dedicate all my free time to that game so I can play it well, and not like split it up in different games and play it like half.
I find interesting is that people who start with Dungeons & Dragons tend to think that older games are as demanding in terms of knowledge of the rules and this sort of things. What about you? Have you ever played other games? Or
we only just started playing Dungeons & Dragons this year after watching Critical Role. And I'd never played it, didn't know anything about it until watching Critical Role, and I learned the basics from there. And then as soon as we started playing, I was like, okay, I know nothing else. I've never read any of the books, any of the player handbooks, nothing. But I know Critical Role.
Of course she did, because she's the dungeon master.
Yeah.
We've always been fans of tabletop games, but we haven't played... Yeah, we don't play any other RPG tabletops.
Have you ever watch other shows like Shields of Tomorrow, who plays Star Trek Adventures, which is also made by a London-based company?
My only ones are actual play is The Adventure Zone and Critical Role. High Rollers. I mean, need to get into High Rollers, which is a British-based tabletop role-playing game.
They had the live episode of High Rollers here on the Friday.
They did, yeah.
But because we hadn't really gotten into it yet, we didn't like prioritize a Friday ticket.
Yeah, I have run one Crash Pandas one shot with my group that I DM for.
Oh, nice.
And it was a lot of fun because we're lucky in that nowadays a lot of D&D is played over Discord or Skype, and it's an online community, which is great. But my players, we all live together. I'm at university. So once a week, we all get together in our house and we play. And I was like, this week, I don't have the time to plan a whole session because it was quite demanding. And I'd just seen the Critical Role Crash Pandas one shot, and I thought, this looks fun, this looks easy. So we got it together, I printed it off, and we had a really good time. And it was easy for me as a DM because there wasn't loads and loads of rule checking, you know, there was only one page of rules.
And it was. Could you explain the concept and maybe what happened?
Yeah, it's great. The concept is basically it's a RPG where you play as raccoons entering the dangerous world of human street racing. But unfortunately, as a raccoon, you can't drive a car on your own. So you need your friends to help you. So the party is a group of raccoons who've got together to drive a car. We played for about 3 hours, so it was quite a short session. And during that time, the raccoons managed to crash 3 cars, kill someone, and not get discovered as raccoons. They were puppeting a pair of gloves at one point with a broom handle and a can of spray paint. Yeah, it was an experience.
Is your knowledge of the workings of a car better than Sam Riegel?
No, I was like, what should
the bar is very low.
Let me know. Yeah. Well, I know the word boot and trunk, so there's that. But no, Sam and me are pretty much on a level with how much we know about cars. So, but it was still fun.
The line is moving, and we've been cut off from your friends. Yeah. To close, what are your hopes for the day?
I would really like to be in the... There's a photo at the end with the cast with some of the cosplayers, but they're going to choose them from the crowd. So my hope is to be one of the cosplayers who gets to take a photo with the cast, because unfortunately I missed the bar for all the autographs, so I haven't met them. That would be my hope. But really, I just want to see them and have a good time.
Well, I'm crossing finger for that. Do you want people to find you online?
Oh, yeah. I have a card for you. It's probably good. But I'm Rosewater Cosplay on Facebook. I'm Rosewater Rain on Instagram and on Twitter. So if you want to find me there, that's where I am. Come talk to me about D&D or Critical Role. Just hit me up. It would be great. Thank you.
This episode included We Would Be Friends by Glow of Compartment, and of course Sota or Frango or Team Song by Bonded or All. It also included Troll Farceur by Pen of Chaos, and a Portuguese cover of Monsters, the song from Shadowhunters, by Bonju. And a special thanks to Bonju for allowing me to include a song in this episode, and a special thanks to Nuno from the London RPG community for taking care of the translation of my messages with Bonjour, otherwise it might not have worked. The logo of the Rollist podcast is designed by Rolin Kunz. Please go check our TeePublic store for more art by Rolin Kunz, or t-shirts with our logo, or my Mind the Trap own design. That's a cool way to support the show, and you get a nice t-shirt or a nice mug to sport at work. Another way to support the show is through reviews, and I got 2 new ones on Podchaser. First, thanks to Cape Bedlam. Great podcast covering all things tabletop RPG. Callum is a great host and interviewer. Thank you very much, Cape. It's always a pleasure. Actually, you heard Cape. It is Greg in the first part of this series dedicated to Critical Role at MCM Comic Con London. Another review also on Podchaser by Caradeos. Great show with some very interesting interviews. These folks also organize great events for the community and are great at bringing fans together. Listen, thank you very much, Caradeos. And speaking of events, we've got the monthly Le Drinks and Dice, which you can join. The next one is, let me look that up in my phone. We've got a Facebook page, which you can check to find out about these. It's always the first Wednesday of the month. Isn't Facebook getting better and better each day? No, it's not. So the next one, it's on August 7 from 7 p.m. at Badmoon Cafe. So yeah, hope to meet some of you there. There's a lot of awesome folks. You got people from Phoenix Games Club, from London RPG Community, from the Roleplay Heaven, London Indie RPG sometimes. And if you have a club to promote, or if you're looking for a table to join as individuals, or if you're just looking for players for your table, well, that's the place to go each month in London. Maybe, I don't know if you've seen on social media, but another event I helped organize was the London stop for Satin's Phoenix D&D Euro Tour. There was a lot of really cool people. I cannot wait for the video to be released, or I don't know what's the plan with that. I took part to a panel and it was really cool. We had Mark Hulmes from High Rollers, which got mentioned in this episode. We had TG Storm, of course, Satin. We had the folks from World Anvil, who are lovely.
other lovely people were the people from Cognitive Merchants and Effe from Eurogamer, also who had a first go at D&D recently. It was quite cool, and I hope I will be soon able to release the content of those panels here on the podcast stream. What should be also released soon on the podcast stream is the panel I did for Acadec Online. It was on the subject of tabletop RPG between the channel and the pond. And I had three great guests. I was supposed to have a fourth. Sadly, they were not able to join us. And yeah, it was quite cool. I had people from Chaosium, from Peregrine Place, and from Black Armada. Yeah, it was a cool discussion about tabletop RPG in Great Britain and Ireland. And I cannot wait to release it here and hear what you folks think about it. Finally, also to support the show, please head to our Patreon. It's been a while we didn't have any new patrons, and we lost a few now and then, which is normal. No matter how long or how little you contribute to Patreon, it means the world to me. So even if you do it for a couple months, you still keep the benefits, which include Café Rollist, which is a sideshow, mainly with me and Akadosh, sometimes with Persephilia. We are just about to start recording the RPG a day. So in August, you got RPG a day, and for the occasion, I will be releasing one episode of Café Rollist to the patrons per day each time. Each day is one different prompt from the RPG a day thing. So if you want to access to this content, which is not much, but it's quite cool, I find, well, you can head to Patreon, and it would mean the world to me. And second, it really do help me finance what I do with the podcast. It allows me to do more things, to travel sometimes, or sometimes just get a babysitter so I can leave my son and go interview someone. And I had to interview, had to cancel an interview today, sadly, because he was a bit sick. But this sort of things happen. Still got a backlog of audio to edit, which is long enough to last till after Dragon Meet this year. But yeah, it's a pity. I love interviewing people. I think I'm going to try to do more of those panels with the RPG Academy, because it's a way to do it without having to bother with the editing part of things. So anyway, the RPG Academy, you know, you can also check for it on Twitch on the RPG Academy channel. I think in the past videos, there's an auto-saved mode, so you can already check that panel over there. So that's it. Oh, I was about to forget the most important thing. I really need to say a big thank you to the team of MCM Comic Con London, who allowed me to join as a member of the press. They allowed me to record on their premise. They allowed me to attend panels. They even allowed me to attend press junkets. I don't know if that's what they call in French. I don't know what they call in English. Yeah, little press Q&A. So that's how you had a few tidbits with Zach Allison and other people. And yeah, it was an amazing experience meeting so many critters there. Thank you so much, the team of MCM Comic Con. I hope I will do more. I'm not sure I will be able to do the one in October, but crossing fingers. And yeah, I hope there's been new people who listen to the show with those episodes, critters maybe. And I just want to renew the invitation from, I don't qualify to speak for everyone, but it really feels like sometimes we don't engage with one another enough. Not quite the grognards, but the tabletop RPG players in the wider sense, and the critters. It feels like we are a bit separated from each other. Well, from meeting critters, I know, so the critters don't have as many opportunities to meet one another as they wish. From what I've seen, I think it's changed since MCM Comic Con. It seems that I see more and more events for critters, and that's awesome. I think there was one at Forbidden Planet recently with Critical Role UK and Kid Buzz. Yeah, I just hope to see more of these, and I hope to see more critters join us at events like the London Drinks and Dice each month, and also Dragon Meet, which will take place at the end of November this year. It would be really awesome. Last year, we were a couple in cosplay. I was there as Retro Travis, and Catulip was there as Yasha. And I've met a couple there, who cosplayers were extremely lovely. Please come in hordes. We'd like as many of you at Dragon Meet as you were at MCM Comic Con. That would be so awesome. And thanks so much for letting me interview all. It was great, and you got a great community. And I wish you all the best. Please come back for the next episode. It will be about an RPG club in Barcelona. A new idea of what it's like to play tabletop RPG in Catalan. Please come for the experience. And in the meantime, have a good game. Holy, holy, holy. Solta um frango e vem com a gente. Holy, holy, holy.
vem com a gente.
Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama. Ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigoduto na hora do piriri. Cai em mim, ô travesti.
Vai, batuque!
Rolê! Rolê! Rolê!
Solta o frango e vem com a gente.
Rolê! Rolê! Rolê!
Solta o frango e vem com a gente.
E merda, vamos ligeir ici. Tiens, voilà quelqu'un. Salut, tu viens pour l'aventure?
Eh ouais, je suis le nain.
Ça se voit.
Et ça, c'est le donjon?
Effectivement, c'est le donjon de Nahalbuck.
Il a pas l'air terrible.
Faut pas s'y fier, hein, que personne en est ressorti.
Ah bon?
Faut dire aussi que personne y est entré.
Bonjour, bonjour.
Ah, voilà l'elfe.
Eh oui, c'est moi. Et qui est ce petit personnage?
Je suis un nain, connasse.
Un nain? Mais quelle horreur!
Mais ta gueule!
Mais s'il vous plaît, commencez pas à vous battre!
Oui, c'est ça, ta gueule!
Et voilà, c'est déjà le bordel!
Vos gueules!